Tip today, in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Sarah. Welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today. Now, lots of stuff happening right around the county, as you can imagine, over the coming weeks, and we're trying to fit in as many things as we can and give everything a little mention. This one is, hi, Fran, will you give a mention to the Silver Mines Folk Choir? They're celebrating their 10th anniversary with a very special Christmas concert in Silver Mines Church this Sunday night, the 3rd of December at 8 p.m. It will be, I'm told, a perfect way to start your build-up to Christmas, and thanks and happy Christmas to all in Tip FM, it says here. So there you go. Councillor Martin Brown, thanks for that, Martin. Martin was on to us to tell us that the floodlights are being replaced in the Rock of Cashel at the moment, and that's why the situation is as it is. There's cables exposed right now, but they hope to have the works completed by early in the new year. Thanks for that, Martin. So that's why there's not flood lighting at the Rock of Cashel, which is causing concern to a lot of people. All right, let us talk to our vet, Mairead from Aravets in Tipperary Town. Good morning to you, Mairead.
Morning.
It's good to talk to you today. Listen, I was reading a piece from you that seemingly veterinary services, they say the number of pets they treat for chocolate poisoning goes up by nearly 800% over Christmas. Is that true?
Yeah. I think the most amount of calls I had last Christmas, people were like, oh God, my dog's after getting into, you know, whatever type of chocolate. I don't think I had any other type of calls last Christmas apart from my dog has eaten chocolate.
Right.
See, what happens is people have presents under their Christmas tree and they could be like chocolate wrapped up in wrappers and things like that. And the dogs, you know, the dogs know that there's chocolate in there and they get into them unbeknownst to the owner. And the same, like, every house has, like, celebration seats sitting on their coffee table.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot more access to chocolate at the minute.
So would you just explain to us again, chocolate is poisonous for a dog,
yeah,
isn't it?
So it's the cocoa part of the chocolate. So it causes a kind of, it's theobromine that causes the problem, and it's kind of, they get, like, it's like an overdose of coffee for us. Like, you get heart palpitations, they'll start shivering. That kind of thing really is what they'll get, vomiting. There is no antidote for it, so there's no reversal agent. You just have to sit it out with the dog. You have to put them on fluids. You have to just treat it symptomatically, try to stop them vomiting. So, like, the way it works is, like, a small dog, if a small dog eats, say, like, a 70% cocoa dark chocolate bar, they're in trouble. You know, they're right, in serious trouble, one square of that.
Right, so the dark chocolate is much worse, obviously, because
it has a higher cocoa content. So those kind of cheaper chocolates, like, you know, I guess your celebrations and things like that, the cocoa content in them isn't very high, but it's those, like, do you know, like the Lily O'Brien, like the dark chocolate meat in the Lily O'Brien's box? That could be lethal to a 2 or 3 kilo Yorkshire Terrier. Now, if a 40 kilo Labrador had one of them, he would be fine. There is actually loads of calculators and everything online to work out the chocolate toxicity dose.
My God.
But
if it's a small dog, it could kill the dog.
Oh, like a 70% cocoa, like a 2 squares of that may potentially kill a small dog, yeah.
Okay, so don't feed your dog chocolate, I suppose, is the
No, and keep them out of the way. People, like, you know those boxes of sweets or the hampers and all that are sitting under the Christmas tree? Be careful with them, they can get into them. Onions, raw onions are very poisonous to dogs as well and cats.
Did you tell me that garlic is bad for them as well?
Yeah, onions and garlic, yeah. It has a thing in them that when the body breaks it down, it causes their red blood cells to break down, you know, to explode for all the world, the red blood cells.
Good God Almighty, it's incredible, isn't it? Listen, I know that people are almost bored with it by this stage, but we have to bring it up again. Do not buy puppies for Christmas. Is that a simple rule?
And like, we got a special message from Santa Paws that he does not agree with he won't be bringing puppies for Christmas. He doesn't agree with it.
Right.
First of all, it's just not a good idea. It's the wrong time of year. So if you think your house is Christmas time, there's either loads of extra people around or else they're not in your house. You're going away, you're visiting neighbours, you're visiting friends, you're doing all these things. So either the puppy's going to be overwhelmed with, like, attention and people and stimulus, or it's going to be in the house by itself. So it's not a good time of year. We have loads of problems as well. Like, you have Christmas trees up, there's decorations, there's chocolate, there's distractions. You don't have the time to look after a puppy at Christmas. So it's just really a wrong time. There is no responsible breeders at Christmas. You will not buy a puppy off a responsible breeder at Christmas. Anyone that cares about puppies will not breed their dog in June or July time.
That gives room then for the unscrupulous guys online, particularly, I suppose.
Oh, I've seen this already. I've seen puppies coming into the clinic in the last week or two for their vaccines, and they won't let the owners meet them at their house. They show them the cute photos inside, but you know that pup has only been brought in for that photo. Like, if a person had a show dog and, you know, they were going to breed a good litter of pups, they will not breed them in June, July time because they do not want them going to the Christmas market. So a responsible breeder will not do it. They won't breed at this time of year. Even animal rescue centres, they actually stop adopting dogs out now at this stage. They won't adopt dogs out for Christmas.
All right. Okay. So no puppy for Christmas, according to Santa Paws.
Yeah.
Right, very good. I love it. One of our listeners on to say, a dog dragging its hind leg, doing a lot of licking near the joint in the thigh area. Does Mairead know what could be the matter here?
It's potentially got nerve damage to its leg, or it's got maybe, it could have a dislocated hip. You know, if the leg is dragging, it's not able to put the weight on the leg. Those signs are just basically that the dog is in pain and he needs to be looked after. That's not going to go away by itself. He probably needs painkillers. He may need an x-ray. So it's really important to get him checked.
All right. Another listener says, recently bought a few hens with a coop, and I'm just wondering, with the cold snap, do they require extra heat or shelter, leaving aside the danger of the foxes?
I'd be making sure that they have lots of dry straw, you know, that they have the option to go inside and lie down in a warm area. Generally, they're okay if you have lots of dry, you know, if you have a area and dry straw for them to lie in, make sure you're cleaning that out. Damp straw is no good, you know, that's going to make them cold. And lots of stuff for them to eat. Be it a guinea pig, be it a rabbit, be it a hen that's outside, provide it with lots of stuff to eat. You know, eating keeps their metabolism going. It's the same if we sit down and have a hot bowl of porridge and we're eating. You warm up. If you sit down and have your steak and you're actually eating food, you start to warm up. So it's the same horses as well. If they're outside, keep them topped up with hay. If they're, you know, if they're chewing around, if they're chewing and their tummies are full, you know, they're going to stay warm.
All right, interesting one here. It says, Fran, would you ask Mairead, would a fox or a mink kill a cat? My cat is gone almost a week. She never moved from the house. She was neutered. She would sleep in a shed outdoors. And a few cats over the years have disappeared like that. I live in the country. Well, I'm convinced that a fox took one of our cats some years ago, Mairead. Yeah. But
a mink definitely would.
What? Are you serious, yeah?
Yeah, a mink definitely would. Like, they're one of the creatures, I think, that should not exist in this world. Like, they don't even really eat the stuff that they kill. They kind of kill and they leave it, and they definitely, you know, mink just kill things, and they're fierce. They're a crop. Do you know
they are? I didn't realize they'd kill a cat though.
Yeah, no, they would.
Yeah.
And like more so than a fox. Like, I think a fox might take a cat if it's after being hit by a car and it can't really escape too fast. You know.
Yeah.
Those mink, they can fit in through anything. Like, I used to have rabbits before, and the minks used to just kill them off.
And I remember doing a program where this was an item before. It seems there's an awful lot of mink in Tipperary.
Yeah, I haven't seen them recently, but I know someone was talking about it. I haven't seen one out on the road. Like, I remember seeing cattle before when I was working in Clare, and the mink had just come and attacked the cattle's like ankles. You know, they were just latching onto the back of their leg.
My God.
They're not nice. They're vicious.
All right, so it could be mink then
it could be mink, it could be fox, it could be knocked down. You know, there's cats are just really hard to, you know what's going on. It's the same. We try to get everyone to chip their cat because, like, cats go missing and people kind of take them in. They're like, oh, I found a stray cat. They don't think that someone may have owned the cat and start feeding them and keeping them. You know, nobody... It's not out of badness or anything, but cats move around all the time, and people automatically, if a dog strays in, they bring it to the vet and get the chip scanned. If a cat strays in, they'll start feeding it, you know, and they'll start
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Speaking of, let's move on to dogs. Why is my puppy wetting his bed at night, even though he knows how to use the puppy mat?
Maybe he has a puppy mat in it, and so maybe he has a urinary tract infection. So maybe he has a little infection there that, you know, that he can't hold it, and he's like weeing unintentionally. You know, that just little drops are coming out. And the other thing is maybe he's now using his bed as a puppy mat. You might have to either replace the whole bed because that smell is on it, or, you know, wash the whole thing and see if that works. The other thing is to leave a little bit, if he does wet somewhere, leave a little bit of the pee on your puppy mat so that the puppy knows to use that.
Okay.
But you need to make sure that he has somewhere to wee in the middle of the night, because they're not able to hold it for 12, you know, hours that you leave them there. And they're like children, you know, they probably need to go every 2 to 3 hours. And if he can't get access, he's going to pee where he can.
Of course, yeah, that's interesting. Another listener wondering, are nuts bad for Yorkshire Terriers?
No, nuts are good. Yes, there 2 days ago I had to take about 8 or 9 teeth out of a Yorkshire Terrier because their teeth were gone rotten. Nuts do help that. They try and stop the plaque build-up by breaking off the plaque. So, you know, nuts are fine. You just need to look at the quality of the nuts you're using. It's the same as ourselves. We can eat McDonald's and Supermax every day, but we wouldn't really do very well on it, or we can have our healthy food. So you just need to figure out which one is a good nut for your dog.
All right, will you take a final one for me, Mairead? Yeah. The kitten is 12 weeks old but losing weight. Only 680 grams, too light to give her ticks injections. What might be wrong? Crying all the time, it says here. I'm not sure if that's the owner of the cat, but...
So first of all, you need to see if she has worms. Worms would stop them putting on weight. And the second thing, I suppose, is assess the diet. Is she on a good quality food? You know, are some of those sachets that people feed, like the kitten needs to take in so much to them to get their calorie intake for the day that they can't physically do it. So you need to get a good quality one that, even if she only eats like a little teaspoon of it, that she's getting really good nutrients in that teaspoon of it. Kittens, unfortunately, and cats can have feline AIDS or leukemia virus. They can be born with it. Hopefully it's not one of those things, but, you know, potentially that could be another problem if you've ruled out, you know, the normal things like worming and diet and access to food.
Right, but bring her to the vet, I suppose, is the easy
and
get answer,
and just monitor her weight, and like it could be just as simple as a worm tablet and good quality food.
All right, Mairead, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Do you
and
mind
look
if
after
I just
we're selling
we have calendars in the clinic at the minute, just to try and raise a few funds. There's two kind of local animal rescue centres here, and we did it for them, and I was asked to mention it just to let people know that there are calendars there. They're €10 calendars.
No problem at all, Mairead. Listen,
thanks.
Take care of yourself, and thanks very much indeed. That's Mairead there from Ara Vets, O'Brien Street in Tipperary Town. One of our more comedic listeners was on to say, Fran, if I got a hen for Christmas, would the batteries come with it? Ba-dum-ts. That's Jimmy, who's in Thurles today, and obviously hitting the wine early. Speaking of wine, that's on the way.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call Tip today on 1-800-938-007.
Let's talk wine with Red Nose Wine, Davis Road, Clonmel. RedNoseWine.com, 052-618-29.
And I'm delighted to say that Gary Gubbins from Red Nose Wine is back with us. It's been a while, Gary. Good to see you again.
Yes, I've been recharging the batteries and travelling the world finding lots of new wines.
So, very good. Have you been on the road since then, have you?
I've been away a few times. That was the week before last. I was in Bordeaux. So Bordeaux is back. We won't talk about that another week. Mm. But it has definitely been in the doldrums with the recession, which we know is officially over now.
Mm. So we hear anyway.
So we hear. But we're seeing it in terms of average spend.
Right.
It's definitely increased.
Has it?
People are willing to indulge in a nice bottle. I don't mean they're going nuts, but you know, that $10.99 thing is gone, and it's up towards the $15, which is where, because of all the tax on wine, which is where it starts getting a bit interesting anyway.
Right, okay. So we're treating ourselves a little bit. Why not?
Just a little.
We're going to look towards Christmas, and today we're going to talk about matching food to wine or wine to food, particularly if you're going out for a night, I suppose.
Yeah, so I thought I'd focus for the next couple of weeks, if it's all right with you. I'd focus on every week a couple of different foods, matching to the wines, but also the food, obviously, you're eating is relevant to the circumstance you're eating it in. Mm. So I know there's Christmas parties being planned now and people are going out. So I just said I'd, and I also wanted, I didn't want to be, I wanted to try and avoid the obvious ones. So I said I'd try to match for people going out for Christmas parties, something like, oftentimes you'll see a bit of pork on the menu or a meatier fish, and it's colder weather, so sometimes that those meatier fishes are nice. And then, so I'd match, I have a lovely white to match to that. And then with the reds, I thought I'd go for something when, if you're, oftentimes you can bring a, you know, some of the pizza places, you can bring a bottle with you, or if you're getting a takeaway, or if you have people around. So something that go, that's very versatile with a pizza, but actually also what I had it recently with was, I'm going to plug for the Tipperary food producers a little bit here. I had a burger which was blue cheese and apple burger from the apple farm in Cashel Blue, but then with one of Pat Whelan's the James Butcher's burgers, and it matched with this red wine we're going to taste in a little bit, and it was just fantastic. And it was only when I read it, when I read a bit more about the wine and the grape, because it's a different grape from Italy, it's because of the fat and the saltiness of the Cashel Blue. So I'd recommend highly a little Cashel Blue, a little bit of apple and a burger.
Very good.
The apple just lifts it. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Why am I surprised that you'd be matching white with pork, though?
Because some people won't drink red wine.
Yeah.
Now, pork, if it was me with pork, I would have a red.
Yeah.
I would have something maybe like a Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
I think would work well. But I'm kind of conscious of the fact that a lot of people drink white and won't drink red, and vice versa. Not many people won't drink white.
Yes, is he putting up his hands here? But there you are. So you're going to start with, what are you going to start with?
Yeah, so the Douro Valley. So this time of year, port is becoming much more popular. People are asking, we have port all year round, but we start bringing in a couple of vintage ports and different things for Christmas. But what's very, very rare in the Douro Valley in Portugal is white wine. So I've got a wine called Corgo de Regua Branco. And Branco is the Portuguese word for white.
Mm-hmm. And oh, I love that sound.
So this is what I call a red drinker's white.
Okay.
So it's a plumper, more fruit-driven style, but it's kind of got apples and peach, but it's weightier, so it's a bit richer and more rounded. And I think there's a little bit of cinnamon going on there, and I just love cinnamon, especially around Christmas.
Right, very good.
Let's see what you think. And I know white isn't always your cup of tea.
It wouldn't be my cup of tea normally, but...
Unfortunately, I don't have the pork as much of it. But this... So the grapes in this are something you never have heard of. Well, sorry, I may be insulting you. Malvasia and Sercial.
No, you're right, funny enough, I haven't.
Very indigenous to the region.
Are they indeed,
But what Portuguese wine, you get great bang for your buck.
Mm.
And even though, I don't know if you've ever been out to the Douro Valley, I haven't. I've seen pictures and I've sent, the winemakers keep sending me pictures, come out. Pay my ticket, I say, but they don't. But we're still at the impasse.
Right.
But it's just basically terraced, very like the Rhone Valley and Northern Rhone, terraced vineyards, granite and hard schist. So it's really difficult to make wine. So I'm amazed that the prices are so low, because the manual effort involved.
Mm, yeah, it's very transparent. It's almost like water in terms of the look, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't look, and the taste now, will be, because you'd imagine a stronger, kind of heavier white would have a richer
colour. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what happens often in oaked wines. But see what you think.
Right. And what am I looking for here now? Because sometimes we disagree on what you're finding in it and what I'm finding in it.
I get a bit of peach.
Do you?
And I get a tiniest touch of cinnamon. But mainly what I get is what I'd rather than look for the small things, look for the roundness and look for that kind of heaviness that you wouldn't admit. So the opposite of Pinot Grigio.
Right, okay.
So even though actually apple and pear and peach, you get them in Pinot Grigio sometimes, but what you don't have is the weight.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little spice at the end.
I would describe that as dry.
Oh, it's dry wine.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
It is a dry wine. Sugar-wise, no, it is dry.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has that kind of, just that roundness at the end. So, and a sweeter wine, you taste it on the tip of your tongue. Taste sweet.
That is very nice,
So I just think for something that, I think, for me, it reminds me a little bit of something, even though the grape is completely different, grapes are completely different, it's something like a nice, older Chablis, with a bit of age. And now Chablis you're going to spend €25 on. we had that in special for $11.99.
So this is $11.99?
Yeah, and I think it tastes way, way better.
So just give us the name again.
So it's Corgo de Regua Branco. It's, we have the red of it, which I think we tasted at some stage last year, which has been very popular with us for a long time. But this is the white. And it's a, I think it's a little kind of under the radar one. We have it in a couple of restaurants in Kilkenny.
Yes.
And I think it's in a place in Waterford. And it just, people love it. It's very hard to get people to try it because they're afraid of it.
Of course, yeah.
But it's one of those ones that it really worth trying. And this would actually be another one if for the Christmas dinner. I think it would work very well with turkey as well because it has that kind of richness and a dry turkey, drier meat.
So fish? The meatier kind of fish.
Yeah. I wouldn't have it with sea bass or something like that.
Okay.
I think it might overpower it a bit. And that's where you want the acidity of something like Sauvignon.
Right, and pork possibly as well.
Pork. I think you want pork with a bit of applesauce.
All right, okay, very good. Okay. You have a red as well.
Yeah, so the red wine is, I'll still go Italian, Montepulciano d'Abruzzo.
Mm.
So people often confuse Montepulciano d'Abruzzo with a wine called Vino Nobile di Montepulciano. So I'll be very brief. Montepulciano is a village in Tuscany, up near where they make Brunello and Chianti. It is very fine wine, expensive wine. Montepulciano d'Abruzzo is a grape. And the Montepulciano in Tuscany is made from Sangiovese. But this is a grape, and it's made on the other side, the Adriatic coast, and it's probably a very popular style for a long time in Ireland. We've recently brought these guys in the last couple of months, and they're very new to us, but they're really flying because they're an organic vineyard, and they offer they offer really good wine, we think, for at a price.
It's a very distinctive label and bottle too, isn't it?
Yeah. So Montepulciano will be known for its kind of dark berry flavors and a little bit of chocolate and maybe a little bit of spicy again.
Mm.
But great with pasta and pizza, and a great one if people are calling over and you just want to give them a glass because it's fruity, but it also has a bit of body. So not maybe as much body as the Rhone Valley that you like, but
so with pizza you would
pizza with pasta. I think it's one of those ones that it's very, very versatile. But the one thing is match it with something with a bit of fat in it.
Okay,
I think it works. Now I had it with that blue cheese apple burger as I was mentioning, and I must actually, as I'm here, that you'll probably hear more about it in the next couple of weeks. But what arrived from the printer this week was the Tipperary Food Producers book. We're 5 years working on a book, and it came to fruition. Probably by the time you'll see it on the shelves, I'm not too sure. But
great idea.
It was brilliant. I know. Yeah. I have to say there was a lot of people involved for a long, long time. I'm not in it because I sell alcohol, so I'm the only person not in it.
Ostracised.
But I did all the work in the background. not quite.
No, of course. Now, this is why I drink red as opposed to white. Immediately that just sings to me.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's really warm. I think there's lovely warmth to it.
Yeah.
I think this is a great little Christmas wine.
Where's the chocolate in that? You see, sometimes I don't get it. Why am I not getting...
Don't think chocolate in terms of dairy milk.
Okay.
Kind of sweeter chocolate. Think in terms of dark chocolate.
Oh, okay.
So kind of almost a bit of bitterness. And what you have, what I like about this is, that, and actually I was looking up the tasting notes from the vineyard before I came out, and they refer to mannerly tannins. I think it's a great expression.
Mannerly.
As opposed to aggressive.
Okay.
So if you have something like a Bordeaux, the tannin can be quite aggressive. So that's why you need to let it breed. But this is mannerly. The tannins are there, and you want that bit of tannin, but it's not. It's quite light.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
You like that?
I like that very much, yeah.
And that's their entry level. You should taste their top wine.
Go on.
Yeah.
And how much are we talking about?
We have, once again, we launched our specials for Christmas. Black Friday we launched, but they run all the way to Christmas. That's down from $14.99 to $11.99 as part of the deals. So when you buy two is 10%, buy any mix of six is 15% and 20% then for any mix of 12%.
I could drink that by the fire with the dog.
It's a gorgeous
wine. On its own. Like it's,
you could. Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's why pizza and pasta is good with or pizza especially because the bit of the fat and the cheese.
Mm.
But it goes, what you don't want to do with pizza is overcomplicated with the wine.
Yeah.
There's no point drinking a Barolo, which is a wonderful wine, but it's absolutely wasted with pizza.
It depends on what you have on the pizza.
That is true. But I think for me, the bread of the pizza would ruin the Barolo.
would it?
For me, but what you want there is that we had actually his ads are running at the moment. Nicholas was over last week from Virinel, and he was telling me he loves hunting, and he's seizing it, the wild boar. So what I'd like now, that would be, as in the Barola, would be a civet of boar, slow cooked for 2 days.
Sounds gorgeous, and I'm starving as well. Just go back on the names. The white?
Yeah, so the white is called Corgo de Regua, and the red is called Colifrisio Moricini, Montepulciano d'Abruzzo.
Right.
So just say the blue label Italian wine.
The blue label.
It's got a big blue label. It's very distinctive, isn't it?
Moricini. So the white wine, it's very much full body. As you say, for people who like red, you could drink that white. That's for pork, meaty or fish, and here we're talking about a lot.
I think something pizza. Like burgers, like gourmet burger style, not so much. Well, you can have any burger.
Yeah.
Gourmet, kind of, you know, those bigger, meatier burgers, pizza, pasta, something with a bit of fat through it, but it's not too, but not necessarily like roast beef, because roast beef probably wants something a bit more austere.
So I presume you're saying to people for Christmas, and we'll be talking about it in the coming weeks as well, but be a little bit more adventurous. Yes. Maybe go outside of your comfort zone.
Please.
I'm saying that more to myself than anybody else.
Well, just there's so many wines. I was in Bordeaux 2 weeks ago, and I met a guy, he's 8th generation, Saint-Emilion Grand Cru, and I tasted his wine, and then he said, taste his neighbour's wine. And they were side by side, and they were so different. So if they're different, literally side by side, how different are they going to be if you go from Bordeaux to Tuscany in Italy to Portugal to New Zealand? You know, there's an awful lot of great wine out there, and and you don't have to spend a fortune on it.
All right, okay. One person saying that I could be with you in a matter of minutes if you'd like my opinion on wines. I'll even bring my own pork. Someone turns who just wants to join the party.
That's not TJ Crow, no.
No, I don't think so. All right, so next week you'll be with us again?
Please God.
All right, we look forward to it. Gary Gubbins there from Red Nose Wine. And if you want to find Gary, I suppose the best thing to say is you're near Larry O'Keefe's there.
Right beside the Regal Centre there.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Gary. We'll take a break, and we're back then with a marvellous singer-songwriter who has a brand new album out. Mary Barry is joining us after these.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're welcome back to Tip Today. And I'm glad to be joined in the studio by singer-songwriter Mary Barry, because Mary has recently launched her very first album, and hopefully the first of many as well. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations to you on the album. It's called I Knew You. And it's interesting how it came about, really, because it started with a gift voucher for a recording studio, is that right?
It did, yeah. I've always loved singing, and anybody who knows me knows that about me. And my sister-in-law gave me a present of an hour in a recording studio, which I gave away, by the way, to somebody that I thought would use it, a younger person than me that gigs. And but after 3 days before the voucher was due to expire, he gave it back to me. I said he never used it. So not to let it go to waste, I had written a song, and I decided to put that song down with my guitar, and just to have it for posterity. I didn't expect anybody to like the song, and what came to me after that was the song is good, your lyrics are good, your vocals are good, but your guitar playing isn't great, which is fine. I'm not a musician, or don't claim to be. So yeah, that the seed was sown then, and I said if I was going to do it, I may as well do it right and get proper musicians around me on the advice of that guy. So yeah, then I met Dave Keary in Limerick at Red Door Productions, and Dave worked with me, and his words were, yeah, it's worth bringing the song to the next level. And luckily for me, Dave is very busy. So in between our meetings, I was writing more songs. So every time I came to him, I had a new song. So what started out as one song became nine.
Isn't that fantastic? And of course, the Dave Keary you're referring to is our mutual friend. Indeed, I've been friends with Dave for years and plays currently with the Van Morrison Band. Yeah. So he knows his stuff, to speak. Was it encouraging to you to know that somebody with that much experience was saying, yeah, they're good songs?
Oh, God, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, was great. And he steers the whole project. And as well as his musical excellence, he was a gentleman to work with. Mm. And he's playing in the world stages, and he's helping the local talent. So
Fair play to him for that as well. What about when you take a song and you write it in, you know, whether it's in your bedroom or at home or whatever, and then you bring it into a studio and it's influenced by the musicians and it's influenced by production and studios and all of that kind of thing. Did that worry you at all, that the songs would become something different?
No, it didn't really. I trusted Dave, and he didn't steer too far away from my original songs. He just embellished them.
Right.
The most nerve-wracking part of all of this actually was bringing the song to Dave, the first go, and to play a guitar in front of him.
Yeah.
Actually, when he the night before the first meeting, he said, "Don't forget your guitar." And I said, "What do you want my guitar for? I don't, you know, I thought you were playing guitar." So he said, "I have to see how you wrote the songs, because that's how they came together. It's just lyrics and chords and a mix of." And I've always loved lyrics to songs, and when you good lyrics with the nice melody can be so powerful, and I just love the emotion.
And who would you have been listening to over the years? Who would have influenced the music?
Oh, Kris Kristofferson is top of the list. I just love his style. I love his storytelling, songwriting style. I love his voice, even though he mightn't have the best voice in the world.
Yeah.
As a young, I wanted to be June Carter, but I wanted to be married to Kris Kristofferson.
Not Johnny Cash. Very good indeed. Well, Sunday Morning Coming Down is probably one of my favourite songs
it
of all time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just so evocative and all of that. Let's have a listen to the title track then. This is called I Knew You. Do you want to introduce this for me, Mary?
Okay. It's the basis of the song, really, I think, is the universal spiritual connection between everyone and everything. And the you can mean a lot on many levels. It can, you know, soulmates is evident in some parts of the song. Your subconscious in other parts. Unborn children, past spirits, just the general spiritual connection, and how we should feel connected to it and trust it.
All right, let's have a listen. This is Mary Barry, and it's the title track to the album, I Knew You.
Felt you close before we ever met. I knew we'd meet in our own time, as if your angel spoke to mine. My image of you was crystal clear. I don't know a time when you want it. You've always been in my heart and mind, as if your angel spoke to mine. Our souls touched before we met. Was it just a thought? Could it really be heavenly divine? Could your angel speak to mine? For I knew you, my instinct knew what my heart felt. If our souls touched before. know what it all means. Stars, success, life, rebirth. For I knew, you. My instinct knew what my heart felt. If our souls touched before we met.
I Knew You, it's the title track from Mary Barry's brand new debut album. Mary's with me in studio. We'll take a break and we'll chat to her again after these.
And yeah, it's on Spotify and on iTunes and in the Limerick Record Shop, Steamboat Records.
Very good. And it's in County Clare, you were telling
me. It is in the Kilbaha gift shop in County Clare. It's a beautiful little gift shop. It's worth the trip.
That's great. What are you hoping? You told me you really only started songwriting about a year and a half ago or so. What are you hoping for? What is it?
What am I hoping for? Well, I didn't start out hoping for anything in particular other than to enjoy the whole process and watch it evolve and come together. I would love if some people got some maybe hopeful messages, enjoyment from some of my songs. I'm not trying to impose, I'm just sharing, and I didn't set out trying to even be original or try to compete. I just wanted to, I'm in that lucky position that I'm not starting out as a young person trying to make it as my livelihood. This was just a passion that naturally evolved for me.
Right.
So it would be nice if people liked my songs,
Yeah, and you're going to keep writing as well. You were saying in some of the blurb that I was reading that you like to merge music and philosophy and stuff.
Yeah,
that,
my passion.
That sort of comes through. We're going to finish by hearing a song called I Should Have Asked. Is this the very first song you wrote?
It's the first song I wrote, yeah.
Okay.
And again, that came very naturally. I was chatting with you there, a friend, telling you how I always just like to write down things and write down words of songs, learn words of songs, get the meaning and the lyrics, and it just was a natural progression for me to start writing my own, I think, and it happened very much like that, very organically, and it's a passion that evolved over time. When I had the time to actually write my own and put pen to paper, you'd be amazed what comes out, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I had it in the car for the last couple of weeks, and I love the album, I love the sound of the album, and the songs are really thought-provoking and very strong it is. So we're going to finish by listening to I Should Have Asked. It's Mary Barry. It's her new album called I Knew You, and it's available online. It's good to see you, Mary. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I should have asked for strength and I should have asked how and where to begin to find the light through all the haze, to believe that there'd be brighter days. I should have asked how to listen to your heart. I should have asked how to lay out my part.
That's Mary Barry from her album I Knew You. That particular track is called I Should Have Asked, and it's on Spotify and it's up there on Amazon if you want to make a purchase there of some brand new original music. That's almost it from me, but I can't leave you today without acknowledging that today is the 50th anniversary of the death of the man who emerged from the stony grey soil of Monaghan, the great Patrick Kavanagh, of course. And I know the poets and authors will gather at his graveside today to mark that particular anniversary. We're going to mark it ourselves by playing a little bit of the most wonderful song, as a song like nobody else could sing it, the great Lou Kelly and Raglan Road, the 50th anniversary of the death of Patrick Kavanagh. Truly produced, Owners on the Way, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
On Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge, the queen of hearts still making tart, and I not making hay. Oh, I loved too much, and by such is happiness thrown.